Girls are typically born with about 2 million undeveloped eggs in their ovaries. When adolescence comes and a girl begins to ovulate, one of those eggs is released each month, ready to be fertilized. But that never happened in Barbara Johnson's body.
I had an early menopause when I was a teenager. My periods basically stopped. They didn't really start, to be honest. So I thought from the start that I wouldn't be able to have children.
By the time Barbara got married to John, reproductive medicine was advanced enough that women could get pregnant using their husband's sperm and an egg donated by another woman. But then there was another problem, the chronic shortage in Great Britain of donated eggs.
We got married in 1993, and we were already on waiting lists then at the hospitals, because there is at least a two-year waiting list for one donor. And then all in all, it took us 4 years from start to finish.
Barbara tried four times to get pregnant. Each time, an anonymous donor's eggs were mixed with John's sperm in a lab dish. Then doctors transferred the resulting embryos to Barbara's uterus. On the fourth try, they got Anna.
Hey, Tiger.
The Johnsons live near London, where Barbara and her husband both work as journalists. Under the British infertility system, they jumped higher on the waiting list by recruiting fertile women friends and relatives to contribute their eggs to the anonymous donor pool. Barbara says this delicate business of cajoling other women to give eggs on their behalf makes the troubling experience of infertility all the more difficult.
The scarcity is just as stressful as the actual IVF attempt itself, if not more. Because you never know when it's your turn, when you can have a go. And if that doesn't work, well, you're back to square one again. And it affects your whole life.
Great Britain forbids paying a woman for donating her eggs. In the U.S., egg donors typically get from $2,000 to $5,000. The British ban is enforced by the government's Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, the HFEA. Chief Executive Suzanne McCarthy says, first of all, it's morally dubious to pay someone for their genetic material.
Human life is something that is special throughout all of its creation and gestation and use. And secondly, because children who would later find that they were essentially bought would find this very difficult.
Perhaps, but one California entrepreneur sees the British ban as a business opportunity, and his style demonstrates the vast differences between America's free market approach to medicine and nationalized health care in the UK. Los Angeles lawyer and radio talk show host Bill Handel also owns one of America's largest commercial agencies for surrogate parenting and egg donation. This year, Handel made a media tour of England to promote his business, including one stop at a breathless, Oprah-style TV show in Nottingham.
His latest venture is selling babies to childless British couples. Wait for it, by post. At £15,000 a time, it could be the most expensive and bizarre airmail on record. Well, before the ethics, the mechanics. Bill Handel, how does it actually work?
Actually, fairly simple. Infertile couples contact us from all over the world that need egg donation. Let's say a couple here in the UK. We will give our code to our database on the internet. We have at any given time 300 egg donors on our database. The couple selects preliminarily an egg donor. We find out if the egg donor is willing to go with the couple. If that's so, a match is made. And then the man goes to the infertility clinic, deposits his sperm, it is frozen, it is shipped to Los Angeles where our center is. The egg is then retrieved from the egg donor, fertilized with the man's sperm. The embryo is then frozen and then shipped back to, in this case, the UK, to be implanted into the recipient mom.
A shipment of American-made embryos would cost the British couple about $25,000. 10% of that money would go to the American egg donor. Studies show that freezing embryos lowers the chances of getting pregnant, but Bill Handel contends that the gamble is better than not trying at all. His scheme provoked outrage from several corners of British society. Josephine Quintavalle, an anti-abortion activist, appeared on the same TV show.
Anybody who would choose a mother from a mail order catalog and then wait at home for it to come through the post, in my opinion, is absolutely automatically disqualified from even being considered as a parent. Parenting is not about rights. It's about responsibilities, and anybody who's brought
up... And even the world's first test tube baby weighed in on the telly. Louise Brown's birth 20 years ago provoked moral outrage because she was conceived in a lab dish using her mom's egg and her dad's sperm.
How would you have felt if you had got to the age of 14, 15 or whatever, and your parents had said to you, you arrived in a jiffy bag, actually, Louise,
I'd be disgusted. I would be disgusted. I they obviously, I mean, shipping them all the way over there, and then it got to come back forwards, I think it's just disgusting.
In a more temperate interview, one of London's leading infertility specialists, Dr. Peter Brody, acknowledged that the shortage of egg donors in Britain can be a severe hardship on infertile couples. But he's still opposed to the American approach, where lawyers and egg donation agencies get their own cut of each deal.
Now, that is not a system that I would like to see, the idea of selling body parts for profit, not necessarily the large part for the person who gives the piece of tissue, but for the middlemen in between. And there is something I find inherently wrong about this.
I think they're insane here, is what I think.
Bill Handel at his London hotel.
They are very proud of the fact that they don't allow compensation for surrogates or egg donors, which means there's no surrogates or egg donors in this country. There's a 5-year wait for egg donors. There is no wait for us. We have plenty of egg donors. We have plenty of sperm donors. We have plenty of surrogate mothers. Why? Because, God forbid, we actually compensate these people for doing it.
And contact that you have with the egg donor. And we also have a wide selection of egg donors just waiting to be chosen by a couple.
Handel and his staff gave a seminar at their hotel for a handful of infertile British couples interested in American eggs.
On the internet.
One question the L.A. people could not answer, whether British law even allows the importation of American-made embryos. According to the head of the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, Suzanne McCarthy, Handel and his British associates would need a license, which the HFEA would be reluctant to grant.
This idea of simply you can go out and buy a baby or buy an embryo to create a baby is not something I think the HFEA would find great comfort in or find itself comfortable with.
The question of paying donors is just one of many differences between the regulated British system and the free market American approach. For example, the UK keeps a confidential registry of all egg and sperm donors. The US does not. The UK regulates how many procedures are performed. The US does not. And the UK keeps strict controls on when experimental treatments can be offered to the public. But in the US, it's basically buyer beware. Tim Hedgley heads the main advocacy group for infertile people in the UK. He concedes that British regulations do deny some couples their choice of experimental or controversial treatments. The waiting lists can be long, and in some parts of Great Britain, infertility treatments are not covered by the otherwise free national health system. Still, Hedgley says that reproductive medicine deserves close scrutiny.
There's no other treatment or process like it in the world. You know, the end result is a living human being. So it has to be regulated so tightly. Some people will be hurt. In all situations, there will be people, there will be winners and losers. But I think the winners, they're all silent winners because they have been protected.
British couples with enough money and motivation always have one final option. They can hop a flight to a more lenient European country or to the free market USA. This is Stephen Smith, Minnesota Public Radio.